Love has conditions when you talk about the way we love, but God's love is unconditional. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
You know, people love you as long as you're benefiting them. People hang out with you as long as you can do something for them, as long as you got a great reputation, as long as it doesn't make them look bad. But God stands with you when you look bad. He loves you when no one else loves you, and He knows you better than anybody. Only God can love us that way, folks. Only God can love us that way. People don't love us like that. We serve an awesome God.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Hello, and welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Al serves as senior pastor here at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We're so blessed to have you with us today because we're going to study one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Psalm 139. Many a worship hymn has been written based on these wonderful words penned by King David. It's all about the greatness of God and how much He loves us. I don't know about you, but I never tire of hearing how much God loves me. Here's Pastor Al in the awesome Psalm 139.
Psalm 139. It says, for the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. Amen. Here David reveals the depth to which his intimacy with God existed. Lord, You know me. A couple of words we want to look at here. He said, David says, You have searched me. That word searched in verse 1, it is the Hebrew word kakar, and it means to penetrate, to examine intimately. The other word is, Lord, You have known me, he said. That word known, the Hebrew word yada, it means to know properly, to ascertain by seeing, observation, in the sense of observation, sense of care, recognition, instruction, and punishment. David said, Lord, you know me. There are two thoughts that come to my mind as I read the first part of this psalm. And he says, Lord, search me, and then, Lord, know me. Number one is this, and that is that God does not want a shallow religious relationship with us. When you read that, you don't get the impression that God just wants you to come to church. That God just wants you to read your devotional book in the morning and that's it. God wants an intimate relationship with you. Lord, You search me. Search me. Because You already know me. Before you open your mouth and begin to pray, God knows what you're going to say. He knows our thoughts even before we think them. God knows us. But when I think about the fact that God does not want a shallow relationship with me, notice also the intimacy is always the goal, even when God were under the punishment of God. That God never casts us off. Intimacy is always the goal, even when you suffer under the punishment of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 9, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. And as with sons, that includes daughters also, that's universal. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, and I love what Hebrews says, of which all have become partakers. Amen? Everybody's been spanked by God. It's not, no one in here can say, I don't need a spanking from God. Maybe not tonight, but maybe tomorrow. I don't know. But everybody has partaken in the chastening of the Lord because he loves you. And he goes on to say, then you are illegitimate and not sons if indeed you have not partaken of the chastening of the Lord. David says, Lord, I want to be intimate with you. Yes, Lord, even in the times when I'm under your discipline, when I'm being punished by you. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, that God does not want a shallow relationship with us. Secondly, is that God's love transcends our flawed condition. He knows us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, it is easy to understand why we would love God. We were wretches and he saved us. It's easy to understand why we would love him, why we gather to praise him. Even if, you know, you didn't believe in God, it makes sense that if indeed he does exist and he's pure and holy, that he's willing to forgive us all of our sins and take that which is imperfect and allow us to come into his presence after we have done him so much wrong. I was at a funeral the other day and just they did a video of the young lady that actually had taken her life. And they were interviewing the family members and they were saying all these special things about her and all the, you know, the accolades and, you know, she's beautiful, she's this, she's that. And then they had thoughts that they were sharing, some precious thoughts that they were sharing about her. But there was one person that caught my attention as the video was running. When they, you know, they kind of do a clip of a person, they would say something, they move to another person. It was just kind of going back and forth. But it showed this one guy, he sat there, and I don't know who he was, I want to speculate, but he says, I'm sorry for hurting you. And I was doing okay at the funeral until that part came up. I'm sorry for hurting you. But wow. And I think about sometimes how we hurt the Lord. The things we do that we look back on, we regret, Lord, I'm sorry for hurting you. She's not around. She's not in this world to forgive him face to face, but it's so good to know that when we go, Lord, I'm sorry for hurting you, that he is there and he is willing to forgive us because he loves us. It's easy to see why we would love him, but it's hard for me to understand why God would love me, why he would forgive me. He knows everything about me. He searched me and he knows me intimately, and yet he still loves me, and it blows my mind. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in that state where we weren't willing to say we're sorry, while we were hurting him, he was willing to die for us. Who do you know that knows every sin, every mistake that you've ever made, seen, and knows every evil and perverted thought you've ever had? Who's seen the dirt, so to speak, under your fingernails and the toe jams in your toes, amen? Who knows everything intimately about you, seen it all, and yet still loves you? Your wife don't even know you that well. Your husband doesn't know you that well. God knows you intimately. He says, I love you. You know anybody like that? You know, you got friends that love you as long as they can hang out with you and stuff. I remember in high school, you know, had my little 65 Comet, you know, Ford Comet, you know, a little 289 engine in it. And, you know, scooting along there at high school, all the guys, hey, man, Pittman's got a ride. Hey, let's get in. Can we get a ride, man? Yeah, everybody's piling in my car. I hit a speed bump. My muffler dropped off. Boom. Everybody piled out of the car. Oh, we'll see you later, man. We're out of here. You know, I thought, boy, you know, fair weather friends. You know, people love you as long as you're benefiting them. People hang out with you as long as you can do something for them. As long as you got a great reputation. As long as it doesn't make them look bad. But God stands with you when you look bad. He loves you when no one else loves you, and he knows you better than anybody. Only God can love us that way, folks. Only God can love us that way. People don't love us like that. We serve an awesome God. I love the song we just sang, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. That first verse always gets me. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was for us. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. How deep the Father's love for us. And yet, there are days that we doubt his love. How can we? When we see how deep it is. And David trusted in the love of God. Search me, O God, and know me. To know his love, to know God's love, really, when you think about why the church exists, we exist and we come together that we may know his love even more deeply. I think it's in the interaction of the church. As we learn to love like Jesus, we learn something about the depth of God's love as we learn to forgive each other. Because a lot of people don't want to come to church because people rub them the wrong way. Well, you need to go to church so people can rub you the wrong way so you can learn how to love like Jesus. Because we all rubbed him the wrong way, and yet he loves us. Yeah, that's what this is all about. I don't know why I'm in this marriage, so you can learn to be like Jesus. Amen? Isn't it amazing how God puts you with somebody that's not compatible with you? I'm a little suspect of these, and if you've subscribed to those dating services, you know, we can find somebody who's just like you. God don't want you to marry yourself. He sent you somebody totally different to use them as sandpaper in your life, to hone you down to what you ought to be, to teach you how to love the way he loves us. You even wonder, how come my wife is always so difficult? So you can learn to be like Jesus. How come my husband, he just, so you can learn to love like Jesus. And that's the reason for the church. We exist to learn to love like Jesus Christ. I don't like this church because people, I'm going to go someplace else where I can be appreciated. Well, you're not loving like Jesus. Because we didn't appreciate him. We didn't love him. We were offensive to him. And yet he loved us. And he said, now, I want you to love each other the same way I've loved you. Wow. Well, I ain't God, you know. I mean, people always protest. I'm not God. I can't do that. God, he's not asking you to be God. He's God all by himself. But he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is he talking about fleshly perfection? No, he was talking about loving each other with the same kind of love by which God loves us.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with more. The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported ministry. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now to bring us the conclusion of today's message, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
We come together as a church that we might be perfect in that love, that we may demonstrate to the world what the love of the Father looks like when black and white and Asian and Latino and old and young and in between can get together and have a unity and a peace and a harmony and a joy that the world does not understand. That's what, when they walk in, that's what they see. They see the love of God. There's, oh boy, if we had a chance to go around the room and listen to everybody's testimony, God brought some of you out of some mess. Still bringing you out of some mess. And we haven't arrived yet, have we? Amen? But we come together that we might be edified in love. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able. We come together that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, not at home in front of your TV by yourself, with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. David goes on here in this wonderful Psalm 139, verse 5. He says, Lord, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. It's hard to understand that anybody can love me the way you love me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Amen. You ever try to run from God? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Let's look at this. God's love has hedged us from behind and before. In other words, wherever we turn, there we find the love of God. It's inescapable. You can't get away from his great love for you. Even in hell. Now, this is not the fire and brimstone hell, the lake of fire mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 14. The hell, the word hell rather here, he says, I make my bed in hell in verse 8. Is from the Hebrew word Sheol, also called Hades in the Greek. It's known as the world of the dead, as in a sense of some subterranean place where those who die, their spirits go, their soul goes to this place. This place of the dead, however, which now holds those who will stand before the great white throne judgment, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. This place of the dead, this place, Hades, this place, Sheol, will be cast along with death. Death and the grave will be cast, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, into hell itself. That is that great lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Also known as Gehenna in the Greek. Now, I want you to see that because for the believer, Sheol, this place of the dead that David refers to here, it really, for the believer, it no longer exists. Remember the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, after Christ died, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, leading captivity. Captive. What is it talking about there? Those who had passed and died before the time of Christ, where did they go? Couldn't go to heaven. I believe scripture supports the fact that they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Remember the story Jesus told about the poor man and the Lazarus, the poor man and the rich man, and how the rich man went to a place of torment, and how the poor man was in Abraham's bosom who lived a righteous life. And there was a great gulf between them. And the rich man cried out, could you please dip your finger in a cup of cool water and just touch my tongue? I'm in torment in this flame. And he said, I can't because there's a great gulf between us. And I believe Jesus was telling the story of those two places before Christ came. When the righteous died, they would go to a place of the dead. The wicked went to a place of the dead as well, but they were in torment, being held in this place of the dead until Revelation chapter 20, when they are resurrected to be judged before the great white throne judgment of God. But for the righteous, Jesus went down. Atonement has been made for you, told Abraham, told Isaac, told David, who were in a place Jesus also referred to on the cross. When he said to the thief, what did he say to him? Today you will be with me in where? Paradise. He didn't say heaven. He said paradise. And so I believe he led captivity captive, according to Ephesians chapter 4, and brought them out of that place, and they brought them into the presence of the Father. because he was also on his way to glory, and he encountered Mary. And remember, he said, Mary, after his resurrection, don't cling to me. I've yet to go to my Father. Amen. So I believe he's on his way to the Father to present himself as a sacrifice on behalf of those saints who had gone before, who had not received, Hebrews chapter 11, the promises, but now they had received the promises, Christ leading captivity captive out of this place of the dead where the righteous were, where David and all the rest were, and to the very presence of God. But for the believer now, the Bible says that is not the case. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that place of the dead does not exist any longer for the righteous in Christ. He said, we are confident, yes, well, pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For us, when we leave this world as believers since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we go directly into the presence of God. Do not go, do not pass go, as the old Monopoly thing used to say. Go directly, not to jail, but go directly to heaven. So we don't go to this place, as many teach in the Catholic Church, called purgatory, and somebody can pray you out or pay your way out or be good enough for you, whatever. That place does not exist scripturally. If you're in Christ, you pass from this life directly into the very presence of the Lord. Amen. And so when David talks about hell here, he was speaking about that place of the dead, where that abode of the dead where people went, those who had faith in God and would rest and would be there until, of course, they were waiting until Jesus would come and lead captivity captive into the very presence of God. But that place no longer exists. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 39 tells us, because of Christ's sacrifice, because of his great love for us, no longer do us, we believers, not have to face what the Bible calls in Revelation chapter 20, the second death. We don't have to face the second death. In fact, Paul said, "Where death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Because there is no sting of death. There is no grave that holds the believer any longer because of what Jesus has done for us, and it's because of God's great love.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us for another study in God's wonderful Word next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.